begin talking about the biblical reality of hell last week. And we talked about why we as Christians, we need to deal with this hard to swallow teaching, because a lot of times we have groups, religious groups, that they've been wiping out the whole idea of hell from the Bible. And Jesus taught a lot about hell, and it is in the Bible. But you have, most of you, we were talking about on Sunday school this morning, most of you might be familiar with a book entitled Love Wins. People will come to you and say, you know, at the end, love wins, and just it's all about grace. Everybody's going to be saved at the end. And so that Love Wins book, written by somebody whose last name is Bell, it's a bad theology, and I would recommend you not to buy it because it's not biblical. How do I know that? Because he's erasing hell. Francis Chan has another book entitled Erasing Hell. And he deals with people that just like, because they don't want to talk about hell. You know, in churches, we want the preacher just to comfort us and give us things that we like. You know, we got that mentality. It's almost, you don't want to deal with the hard to swallow teaching, saying that we're sinful people and we need to deal with that. So, there is another book out there entitled God Wins. And it's an answer to the Love Wins. So you can buy the God Wins, and it's interesting. But you've got to be careful with that, because the whole theology of the Love Wins is universalism. There are churches called universal churches, and what is their theology? The theology is that at the end, everyone will be saved. Now, that will go against what Jesus said. I mean, how do you reconcile everybody's going to be saved with it's going to be the sheep and the goats? And many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do those things? And at the end, Jesus will say, I never knew you. So how do you reconcile that to what Jesus said? You realize there's a lot of false teachers out there. And that's why I cannot say that enough. We have to go back to the Word of God. We have to go back to the Bible. Because the Bible defines what it is that we need to believe. It tells us. It's the authority that God has. I'm not in charge. Man is not in charge. God is. I mean, think about it. Man was in charge. Why is it that we cannot even control the weather? You cannot even predict certain things. You just tell people after it happens. If we could predict an earthquake, a tsunami, you can't, because you're not in charge. I mean, Earth is not even the center of our own universe. God is in charge, and God already said what people need to believe. We just got to obey. And Solomon read that today in John 14. If you love me, you will obey my commands. That's simple. That's what Jesus said. But people don't want to listen to what Jesus said anymore. And if we're truly his disciples, we got to go back. So this teaching of hell, so many people don't want to talk about in churches. Nancy was telling me last week, and she knows, like, there are people that, you know, they're even preachers, they're scared. Oh, don't read Revelation. Don't do so. It's in the Bible for a reason. We got to deal with that as well. You see, we talked about last week, Jesus said that hell is a real place. It exists. He said it was created for Satan, his angels, and the wicked, those who are ungodly people, will go there. So you see, the whole Love Wins theology is already it's blown out of proportion right there. It's an awful place. Jesus described it as a lake of burning, as a lake of fire. All the description will be a lake of burning sulfur. Awful place. The Bible warns people so that they don't end up there. It has a lot of warnings so that people don't go to that place. Matthew 5, Jesus teaching, 22. He said, like, he talks about, if you call your brother a fool, be careful because you are in danger, Jesus said, of the fire of hell. Even by calling somebody, I mean, it's like, this is for real, man. Then Matthew 18:9, he said this, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown in hell, where their worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. Man, that's like a scary thing when you think about it. I mean, you don't want to go to hell. I mean, you'd rather just deal with whatever it is that's causing you to sin here so you don't end up in hell. Jesus, this is Jesus talking about. He mentioned that so many times. So we know it's an awful place. We talked about last week that people have a choice to make. Hell was not created for people. Like some people say, well, I choose not to believe in a God that's sending people to hell. God's not sending people to anywhere. God created people, but he expects people to act a certain way. Now, people go to hell, we talked about, because the choices they make. You either want to make the choice to be a sheep or to be a goat. You know, and so the sheep and the goats, at the end of time, you say, God's going to separate people in two groups, called righteous and unrighteous. Revelation 19:20, another description. Revelation 19:20 says, but the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The beast and the false prophet. You know, there's a lot of theology. People say, well, who's the beast? Ever since Adolf Hitler, religious groups have been saying, well, he's the beast, or he's the false prophet, or he's the Antichrist. Then Osama bin Laden came, and then people thought it was him. People thought it was the Pope. Well, the beast will be a political leader one day that's going to rise up, and it's going to really persecute Christians like you've never seen before. And it's going to deceive nation. And when you read that, there's going to be a false prophet. They're going to be able to do miracles. You see, in our society, we see miracles supernatural. We think it's the power of God. But it says there that they're going to be able to deceive people because they're going to be able to do some miracles, and they're not even going to be from God. But those two, it says right there, also going to end up in the lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet. And you see the description, like burning sulfur. So that's where they're going. So when you think about all the false teachers we have in our society, eliminating Jesus, eliminating certain teachers of the Bible, I don't want to be there because, say, later on at the end of time, they say, like, I never knew you. Why were you teaching people falsehood? Why are you teaching people the truth, the gospel? You're changing it. You're watering down the gospel. Hell is an eternal separation from God. Hell in the Bible is also called the second death. Now, eternal separation, I mean, somebody was saying, challenging people, I mean, imagine if you could, a world where there's nobody talking about God at all. No Christians, nobody doing kind things to anybody. You might think you're in hell already. I mean, it's like, just, you know, don't do, I mean, think about the kindness of people, like helping somebody that needed help. That's out of the way. Eternal separation from God. I mean, we know that there's some God things around us. We see it. There's evidence. He's providing for us. Imagine there's none of that in this world. I mean, I don't want to be there if God's not going to be around, that I can feel his love, his mercy, his grace, his compassion. Now nobody's going to have compassion with anybody. I mean, it's hard for us to even imagine that, isn't it? So hell is eternal. I mean, look at Revelation 20, 10 through 15. This is what it says. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. The devil's gonna go there. That's why we talked about the devil is not in charge in hell. It's not like we see in the movies that, like the movie Hellboy, he comes there, it's like he's in charge. The devil's not in charge, like we Hollywood try to portray. He's gonna be thrown in there. And he doesn't want to go there, but that's his prison. We talked about that's where he's gonna end up. The false prophet, the beast, the wicked, those people who got deceived by Satan will go there. So the devil, I mean, this is like Revelation 20, 21 and 22 towards the end. This is when Jesus comes back. So the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Another theology that's bad. If he says that they will be tormented forever and ever, why do people say that they're going to be, that hell is not forever? I mean, that's not theology. They call, that you'll be annihilated. You're gonna be destroyed. Not according to it says you're gonna be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Just like heaven is forever and ever, hell also will be everlasting. Man,
for me today night, for him. And then verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and him who seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in the sea. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. That is, according to what you do. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Even death and Hades is the place of the dead. That's what the spirits, you know, when you die, people go to the place Hades. Or you go to paradise. But it's just the soul. You're not in a physical realm, because you're going to be resurrected to face this thing that we talk about. The dead were standing. They were resurrected before the throne. And now, remember the sheep and the goats? And they were judged based on what they did. And then at the end, death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, this is another description, is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Death and Hades. Because why? Why does death have to go there? The angel of death. Because when God comes to create a new heavens and new earth, there won't be any more death. No more death. No more any of that stuff that we see in this world today. So those things will be eliminated. So when you go to chapter 21, he starts telling you about the glorious New Jerusalem, the heaven. So that happens prior to just Jesus coming and making all things new. Now Satan has to be thrown there. He's not going to be deceiving anybody else. No people going to be dying anymore. We look forward to that. All those things are going to be thrown into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever, according to what the Bible says. The lake of fire is the second death. Now it's interesting. Death, you know, came into the world by the choice of man. Just like death into the world by mankind. Death is the consequence, is the result of sin. Sin into the world. What's the payment for sin? Death. I mean, God told Adam and Eve, if you disobey, you will surely die. They did not die physically right there, but they were created to live forever. Eventually, they died. They stopped living on earth. The second death, what is this? You see, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Christianity is one of the only worldviews that can explain to you why people die. You know, in evolution, people used to say, just give it time, things will get better. You know, that's a lie, because you give it time, we age, and eventually we stop existing, we stop living. So eventually everything, the trees, everything will die physically. That's the first death we're talking about. We experience that daily. I mean, families that we love, they're going to die. We all eventually going to die physically. That's just the death we're talking about. But hell is called the second death. Why? Because it's going to be a total separation from God forever and ever. Like I say, I mean, you won't be able to find love, peace, mercy, none of that stuff where you're going to be at. Because you're going to be tortured, tormented, day and night, forever and ever. God, anything about God will not even be found there. You don't want the second death to deal with that. Check out Revelation 21, 7 and 8. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's Jesus talking. And then verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is serious stuff right here. So people, I mean, there's another category of people that want to end up there. People that did not embrace Jesus in their lifetime. You see, when he comes back, there's no time to preach anymore. We stop. There's no second. This is the time now. The Bible says this is the time of salvation. This is the time of you making right your relationship with God, because you don't know you die tomorrow, and then we already read that the dead eventually going to be just be resurrected to be judged according to what they did. And the question is, what are you doing today with Jesus? We see and experience death every time on the news. People die. But you don't even have to be afraid of that one. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die. And what he meant was, will not experience a second death, which is hell. Eternal separation from God in an awful place to be tormented. Just like the godly going to be enjoying heaven. We cannot even describe heaven, the glorious. I mean, it's portrayed as a city of gold. You know, it's like no bad things are going to enter there. So then the people that did not come to the city, they're going to be just in an awful place, described as the lake of fire, where Satan, the false prophet, the beast, and all those people that we read about, like, man. Chuck Missler said, if you are born once, you die twice. If you are born twice, you die once. And what he was talking about is the second death. If you are born once, all of us are born once, we're going to die. So be careful you don't die twice, that you end up going to the second, to experience the second death. If you are born twice, what does that mean? You see, when you come to Christ, people call you, that's a new birth. You hear people say, are you born again? That's the second birth. You're born twice, you don't have to worry about a second death. When somebody comes to Jesus, the Bible describes that transition from somebody who walks from death into life, from darkness into light. Remember that? The Bible, we talked about that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. This whole idea of new creation. Nicodemus had no idea. Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you're going to be born again. Nicodemus said, but I'm already a grown-up man. How can I again go into my mother's womb? God was talking to him about spiritual birth. You and I need that to escape the second death. You and I need to be born again. And Jesus said, but no, you're going to be born with this water and the spirit. I mean, water and the spirit. Baptism included right there. You're going to be born again. All those disciples of Jesus were baptized into Christ. And we talked about what a Christian is, biblically speaking, today. Those who are in Christ. Romans 8, 1. Now, there is now no condemnation, no damnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you are in Christ Jesus, you don't have to worry about second death or hell. Because you ain't going there. Because he already said, I already paid for you. So you don't go. I already went on your behalf. That's what Jesus did. So people, what I'm telling them, they need to be born again. They need to be born. They need to come to Christ to escape. That's how people can escape hell through Jesus Christ only. And you cannot GPS the way. There's only you either go to heaven or you either go to hell. There's only two ways, Jesus said. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But you got to go through me. And then you don't have to worry about judgment day. I remember in 2011, there were some Christians so intimidated. So, like the whole world is going to end. Why are you panicking? If you already have Christ, we talked about it's a cornerstone. Why are you even afraid? If you're afraid, it's because you're not too sure where you're going yet. Because he said, I'm going to give you certainty. I'm going to give you this peace that transcends human understanding. You want to know. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. How can you escape hell then? Well, we talked about you got to be born again. You got to be born in the water and the spirit. You got to give your life to Jesus. You see, nobody has to go to hell. Nobody. Because that's a way of escape. As you see, the whole theology, God's not sending anybody there. It's based on the choices that you make. People, knowingly or not, or unknowingly, they're choosing hell. Because the moment you reject Jesus, you've already chosen the other place. According to what the Bible says. Jesus, you're embracing life. That's what he said. You see, God provided a way of escape. We know that famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever wants him, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn or to judge or to damn the world, but to save the world through him. If you already believe in him, you're already fine. But you do not believe, then it says in the 18, you already stand condemned. So Jesus really, it's a question that people have to be asking. It's a hard question people have to deal with. I mean, the question would be, what do you do with Jesus? Jesus was the answer. What do you do? Do you embrace him or not? I mean, at the end of time, people are going to tell you, did you sing hymns? God's going to say, did you sing hymns or praise choruses in the church? Did you sit on pews or chairs? Did you go to a church building or to a gym? What kind of denomination do you have? None of those things will not even matter. What will matter at the end of time is, what do you do with my son? And if you and I cannot answer that question, well, we better start thinking about answering, how to answer it now, because time is short. You and I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I might be preaching here today, but I might be dead tomorrow. But I got to make sure that I know Jesus today, because he's the only one that's going to take me there. Nobody else. John 20 and 30 and 31. This is John, the writer of the gospel, also the writer of Revelation, how he concludes the gospel. So he said, Jesus did many other miracles that are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing in him, John says, you may have life. By believing in Jesus, people have life. By believing in Jesus, people made that transition from death into life. Yeah, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. So Jesus already provided the way. Nobody has to go to hell. God already elaborated. The moment mankind failed God and destroyed the whole creation, the beauty of creation went sour, God already had a plan. And he told Satan that plan. That's why Satan, at that moment, that when he heard those words, he began setting out lines in the field like, I got to stop God from doing that. The plan was, the seed of the woman, he will crush your head. Satan, the time is coming that somebody born of a woman will destroy you. And Satan just tried to kill the Jewish people. He knew it's going to come from the Jewish people. If I can't eliminate the Jewish people out of the picture, he's never going to be born. He tried it during the time of Esther, didn't he? This man wanted to kill all the Jewish people. He couldn't. Then, when Mary was already pregnant, a king wanted to... Remember all the babies that died? Because he wanted to kill Jesus too? He didn't succeed. Jesus was born. He came. Then later on, Satan tried to stop Jesus from going and dying because he realized, if he dies, I'm doomed. Remember what Peter said? When Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and this is what's going to happen. Peter said, never! Jesus said to Peter, to his best friend, Simon, get behind me, Satan. Because right now, you don't have in your head, in your mind, the things of God or the things of man. In other words, this is what I came to do. When Jesus said, it is finished, Satan knew it. And now we're on the other side of the cross in the resurrection. You know what Satan is doing today? Trying to deceive the world, like he read about the false prophet. So that people do not listen to Jesus. So that people do not choose Jesus, because Satan doesn't want to go by himself to hell. He wants me to go with him too. And you. Even though he knew he lost, it's not done. Because later on, when you read Revelation, the kings of the world, they're going to come and try to form an army to go against Jesus Christ. Remember chapter 19, the rider in the rider of the white horse? Jesus is coming to earth and he looks like ticked. He's mad. And he says that out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword with which to strike down the nations. The Bible talks about the battle of Armageddon, like all the kings of the earth that rejected Jesus come trying to fight against the Creator. And Jesus, you know how Jesus is going to destroy you, and I won't even have to fight. We're going to be behind Jesus, and you know how the whole battle is going to end? You're dead. That's what Jesus is going to tell him, because he holds the key of death and life. So, but there will be people that think they'd be so deceived by Satan that they think they can come against the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what you can tell the whole deceiving of the world, the way we're going in our society today. Because Satan doesn't want people to believe in Jesus as the ultimate solution for our problem. And the solution against sin so that you and I don't end up in hell when we die. Romans 5, 1 and 2, is only through Jesus Christ that you and I can satisfy the demands of a holy God. It's only through Jesus Christ that you and I can have peace with God. The Bible says that before we come to Christ, we're enemies of God. You and I don't want to be enemies of God. But because of Jesus Christ, what he did, he reconciled us to himself. The Bible says there's now only one mediator, one arbiter, one go-betweener between mankind and God, and that is Jesus Christ. That's what he did. We've been reconciled with him. And now the Bible says that with no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you and I be justified, be declared righteous before God. And you and I got to say, praise God for that. That he gave us Jesus and we embrace him. And like Matt Redman said, I will never let go. Because I know you never let go of me, Lord. Oh no, I never let go, he says. See, there was a story about LaGuardia. He used to be a mayor. You know, in 1935, that was the time that he was around here. And he says that he was such a character. Some of you that may remember, you know, the papers and things. One time, LaGuardia dismissed a judge. He sent the judge home, said, go home, I'm gonna be sitting on the sea, I'm gonna judge people today. So just to give him a break. That was in January 1935 when he did that. According to a document written by Brenda Manning regarding the gospel, 1990, that's the title. You can look, Google, you can look it up sometime and read the whole story. But in 1935, he took the seat of a judge and he sent the judge home. I mean, a few minutes later, in that cold day in January, somebody brought an old lady, and they charged that lady of stealing. She had stolen a loaf of bread. So the shop owner said, hey, you know, this lady, you know, Your Honor, we live in a bad neighborhood in here. But she stole. She has to be punished because, you know, we got to teach everybody else a lesson here. I mean, if we just let her go free, everybody's going to steal, and they're going to think it's okay. She needs to be punished. And LaGuardia, you know, as the judge that they said, you're right. She needs to be punished. Then he turned to the woman and said, I got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. He said, $10 or 10 days in jail. Now that woman, the husband had left her. The kids are home starving. That's why she stole that loaf of bread, trying to feed her family. The law makes no exception. Stealing is stealing. And even the LaGuardia said to her, I have to punish you. The law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail. But as he pronounced sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill, a $10 bill, and tossed it into his famous sombrero. And then he said, here, here's the $10. Here's the $10 fine, which I now remit. See, you know what LaGuardia did? Jesus did for us. You're sinful people. I got to punish you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You have to be punished. And what Jesus said, I'm going to take your place so you can go free. LaGuardia paid for that lady so that she will have that bread and she doesn't have to end up in jail. God loved you and I so much that he paid. He came himself and paid the price of our sin. He became sin who knew no sin so that you and I can become righteous again. What LaGuardia did for that woman, Jesus Christ did it for you and I. Say, here, you're redeemed. You're paid.
He took our punishment. He bought us. The Bible talks about we've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. That's what he did, because we all were, the moment Adam and Eve sinned, we were destined for hell. But God said, no, I'm going to go there and rescue them. That's what we call, we've been redeemed. The word redemption comes from you being bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus made it possible that you and I don't have to be punished in hell. He paid the price with his own blood to free us. You see, Romans 5:6 says, just at the right time, when we were powerless, just like this woman, she couldn't do anything. We were powerless at one time because of our sinful nature. Just at the right time when we were powerless, Christ died for us. And you and I always have to think about how an amazing grace that people, that have inspired people to write, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. That's what God did, because he doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants to take you to be with him forever. Thank God for his amazing grace. Jesus Christ, God's solution, God's grace poured out on you and I. He paid. And it didn't cost him gold and silver. His own life. He said, no. He said, no. I buy it. And I have the proof right here. They're mine. So it's like, man, for you and I got to be grateful daily that Jesus did that so we can spend eternity with God forever and ever. You see, hell doesn't have to scare us. But we have people that they're rejecting Jesus today. And we got to tell him, he already bought you. You got to come back. He wants to buy you back so you'll be with God for eternity.